Well, we're in our third week of Christmas traditions, and one of the traditions that a lot of people experience during the Christmas holiday is gift exchanging. How many of you got all your presents bought, all your gifts, you're bought, you're done? How many of you do that at a store? Anybody do it just online only? How many do hodgepodge? Anybody hodgepodge? Kind of a little bit of both, yeah? I don't know about you, but there's a point in time in life, I think, where you get to, do you have that family member who, like, hey, I need some gift ideas from you. I need some gift ideas from you. And then, like, you feel like, you know, you keep asking, and it's like you're getting next down to the wire, and you got to get some stuff. You're like, I got nothing, right? You know those people? Are you one of those people, too? It's just interesting, I think, as you get older, it's like there are times when you're like, what do you give somebody when you feel like they've got most everything they need? It was a lot easier when you're a kid, I think, because kids just have so much more opportunity. Because you get older, the toys get a little more expensive, do they not? And so it's kind of difficult. But as preparing for this message, thinking about gifts, I came across an article. It was interesting. It was just updated in this August. The top 10 best-selling toys of all time. And it was interesting, some of the ones that made the list. Some were not surprising. Some were a little bit surprising to me because I thought of others. I'm like, I'm surprised that didn't make it. But number 10, if the phrase pass, go, and collect $200 sounds familiar to you, then you've played the king of all board games, and maybe you've received that as a gift because Monopoly has sold 275 million units. So it's quite a bit. Number 9 was one that kind of shocked me in some ways because I felt like it was kind of just to one era, but obviously not. There's enough of them that sold over 300 million units. It's the only way to copy and paste if you were using newsprint. This was really big back in the 70s when I was a kid. Silly Putty. How many had a Silly Putty, right? You remember you take it on the comics of the newspaper and you'd stretch it out and make their face look crazy and all that good stuff? Well, Hasbro then came up with a toy that comes in number 7. Back in those days, the girls had the Barbies, and Hasbro had this idea, what if we made a doll for boys? And everybody's like, that's a risk. Boys aren't going to play with dolls. Well, unless you have a G.I. Joe, an American soldier hero. And that came in as one of the most all-time toys over the years. And then there was a toy, it was an odd-looking cloth doll. And I remember this. It caused major riots. I think even people lost their lives over this in 1983. Anybody remember what that was? Cabbage Patch Kids, Cabbage Patch Dolls. Over $6 billion in sales. And then this next one, I'm not sure why you'd buy it, because it only took 3.47 seconds for one young man to solve it. Of course, he is the world record holder of the Rubik's Cube, right? A Rubik's Cube, over 350 million units sold. And then nobody thought Mattel would be able to compete with Matchbox. But these collectibles designed by automobile designers rolled out, and Hot Wheels has stayed at the very top of the list of the most famous toys. And then you get down to the final four. This last next toy was twice locked in as the toy of the century. It's all about creativity. It's multicolored, multifaceted Legos. Legos, over 320 million bill or 320 billion blocks have been made. And then number 3, well, she was born on March 9th, 1959 to Ruth Handler, and that is Barbie. Barbie has over $3 billion in sales. Now, this next one I never got into and never really knew a ton about. I think it was a little past my childhood. It derives its name, though, from two English words, pocket monster. Pocket monster, over 440 million units sold. If you were connected to Pokemon, then I guess you would know that's number 2. But number 1, the king of the toy land now, and they're saying even for the foreseeable future, with over $93 billion in sales, are video games. All kinds of video games. And so it's interesting. Now, see, when I was a kid, it seems like, man, it's so much easier to pick from all of that. But as you get older, the gifts are much tougher to come by. It's tougher to figure out what makes a good gift for somebody that you love. And so this morning, I thought we'd talk about that a little bit. What are the qualities of a great Christmas gift? And maybe that's not always what you get to come up with, but if you thought about it, what are some great qualities of a great Christmas gift? And I think one of the great qualities is time and effort, time and thought. It goes into the gift. And the gift isn't just some random idea or haphazard purchase. It's a gift perhaps that you planned for, that you searched for. You know what I'm talking about. Parents, you've done that maybe. You've went to almost every store looking for this thing, and you can't find it anywhere. You've searched, you scoured online stores, and you can't find it anywhere. You've saved pennies. You've saved money for this one. It's a gift that time and thought went into. Then another quality of a great Christmas gift is the gift meets a need. It's a gift that you can put into use. It helps you. It improves your life. Some gifts are fun for a while, but the gifts that really, really meet a need, those are the greatest. I mean, we may not like those as much. They're not as, could you say, sexy as some of the other, like, toys you could get, but like that new coat, that new undershirt, that socks and underwear, the new appliance or the new tool, it's very much needed, and it's a great gift. Another quality of a great Christmas gift, it requires sacrifice. Somebody had to give up something, or somebody had to let go of something in order to purchase or provide this gift. There was a price that had to be paid. Now, that may be monetarily, but perhaps it wasn't monetarily. Maybe there was a sacrifice of time and effort. Maybe for some people, they're really good at baking, or maybe sewing, or maybe woodworking. And maybe there was something particular, personalized, that you did for somebody else. And it didn't necessarily cost a lot of money, but it cost a lot of time and effort, a little bit of your extra. A good quality of a Christmas gift is it requires sacrifice. Another quality of a great Christmas gift is a gift whose brand name is recognizable, right? Some gifts, can we just be honest, some gifts have more power and impact and influence because of the name on the brand. For example, when I was in high school, there were certain things that I can remember always wanting. Back in those days, Guess jeans were the thing when I grew up. And Polo, Ralph Lauren, you wanted that little icon. And if not, even beyond that, in middle school, I remember it was this one, Lacoste, right? Lacoste, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's French, I believe. Lacoste. To me, it's pretty close to what it is. Take out the la and the te, it's like it costs money, right? Those were not cheap shirts. But I tell you this much, you were that if you had the alligator on your pectoral major right here, right? If you had an alligator here, like who wants an octopus there? No, you want the alligator right here. That's what it said, like, I got something going on right here. And it's true for a lot of things. Like, nobody wanted Erno's block. Did you ever ask for an Erno's block? No, but you asked for a Rubik's Cube. Erno Rubrik made that, and they were going to call it initially Erno's block. Somebody had the wise idea and said, that's probably not going to sell real well. But who would have thought Rubik's Cube would either, but it did, right? Nobody asked for Mr. Pear Head. Everybody wanted a Mr. Potato Head, right? And no offense to all the Franks in the house, but nobody wants a G.I. Frank. Like, what if somebody gave, hey, I couldn't find a G.I. Joe, but I got you a G.I. Frank. But you'd be like, what? Right? My teenagers would not play with a Y square. They won't. I mean, what's a Y square? But you give them an Xbox, now we're talking, right? So sometimes the name of the brand, it matters. It has impact. It has influence. And the last quality of a great Christmas gift, my opinion, it's a gift that will last. It doesn't age with time. It never goes out of style. It never becomes outdated. That's why for women, a lot of times, jewelry, right? Diamonds. What's the phrase? Diamonds are forever, right? Sometimes I know people that will give gifts like a tree because you can plant it, and every year, in season, it gives fruit for years and years and years to come. Qualities of a great Christmas gift, right? But today I want to talk and shift, and I want to talk to you about best gift ever. Best gift ever is described by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's an interesting word, indescribable. It's not used really anywhere else too much in Scripture. It means exactly what it says. It's just so hard to put into words. What is so hard to put into words? This gift that's from God, it's salvation for all who will believe in Jesus. It's just hard to wrap your mind around it. And yet, this best gift ever, when you line it up next to the qualities of a great Christmas gift, it fits like a hand in a glove. I mean, you think about Jesus and this gift of salvation that comes to us at Christmas. It was a planned gift. Time and thought went into this gift. The Old Testament's chock full of prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ, about this Messiah who had come. The Bible tells us that God planned for his son Jesus to be born into this world as its Savior. And the Bible instructs us that but before the creation of the world, that God had chosen us to be his and live as his children. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, God predestined for us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us." I want you to let that sink in a little bit. For he chose us before the creation of the world. What? That we would be holy and blameless. See, God wants all of us to be saved. But there is a part that you have to choose. With God's help, his enabling power, through his prevenient grace, he gives you an opportunity to respond to this invitation, even though you be dead in your sin, through his power of his Holy Spirit, giving you an opportunity to respond yes or no. His hope would be that you would say yes, that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. In Galatians, Paul writes like this, "But when the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him," meaning Jesus. "And his son, Jesus, obeyed the law so that Jesus could set us free from the law and that we could become God's children." When I think about this best gift ever, it was a planned gift. Time and thought went into this. And at just the right time, God sent Jesus to us. It's not only a planned gift, but it's a practical gift. The gift meets a need. I don't know about like you, but I don't like to be needy. Do you like to be needy? How many of you like to be needy? Nobody wants to raise their hand to that. I don't want to be needy. I don't want to depend on anybody else. Let me ask a different question. Which is more difficult, to ask for help or to receive help? You're like, well, those are both kind of, right? Here's the cool part about best gift ever. It's practical. And it meets a need for you, and it also meets a need for me. And yet there are thousands upon thousands of people who still have their biggest need in all of life left unfulfilled. I wonder, have you answered the question? What's the greatest need that a person has in their life? The Bible tells us. The Bible says everyone has sinned, and because of that sin, we all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. In other words, we have all done things we know we should not have done. We've all failed to do things that we know we should have done. But in those moments where we were sinning, the Bible says that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still doing the things we know we ought not do, while we failed to do the things we know we should do, Jesus says, in the moment of that, God says, I love you, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm sending my son, and he's going to die for you, even though you are still that, a sinner by nature. And yet there are some of you in this room, as sure as I say that, you don't believe God can forgive you. You don't believe that he probably would forgive you. And some of you even question if God loves you. And yet I'm asking you to believe the Bible today. The Bible says because of his great love for you, he sent Jesus to die for you. While you were still sinning, he was going to take your sin upon himself to set you free. This is God's gift to you. This is what Paul says. This is God's indescribable gift. And why is it indescribable? I think it's even harder for us in the Western church, in the Western world, to understand it. It's hard to put into words because in our culture, here's the thing that's so hard to wrap your mind around this indescribable gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You can't afford it. And you don't deserve it. And yet God showed his love and he gave Jesus to you. Make no mistake about it, there was an expense that had to be paid for this gift. God had to not lay out cash. God had to lay out his son on a cross for you and for me. That's why this gift is indescribable. Paul does his best to explain why this gift is needed. He said, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, my friend, Paul says to you and I, the wages of sin is death. In other words, there is a work that you and I have both done. It's sin. And for that sin, because of the work that you've done, you receive a wage. Just like you go to work every week and some of you earn a paycheck, you do amount of work, you receive a wage for that. There was something exchanged. When you sin, you get paid. You get a wage. And that wage of sin, the Bible says, is death. And that wage for your work of sin is not only demanded, it's due. It's payable. And it's death, not just a physical death, but eternal death, separation from God. And yet the Bible teaches us that God loves us so much that it wasn't going to start there, stop there. I love this big contraction, the word but. It continues the story. But the gift of God. God says, no, I got a gift for you, my friend. I got a gift for you, brother. I got a gift for you, sister. And it's eternal life. And that is found only in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The gift is from God. A gift is eternal life. It's forgiveness of sin in Jesus. I wonder today, have you received this loved gift from the Lord? Because if you reject this gift, you've rejected the only payment for your sins. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes I think our theology, we don't teach this really well. People don't go to hell because of sin. People go to hell because they reject Jesus. The wages of sin is death. But that's not ultimately what will send you to hell. What will send you to hell is to reject the gift of eternal life through Jesus that God lays out for you and for me and say, yeah, I don't want it. Don't eat it. I can handle this on my own. That's what sends you to hell. And the tragedy of this is this, that some people are going to die a physical death and are going to go to an eternal hell to pay for something that's already been paid for. But they rejected it. And it's not going to be just someday, but for some it's even today, now. Some of you, or maybe somebody who you love, are living in hell, if you will, because they are separated from God. They continue to reject this gift, which is Jesus. They refuse to receive God's gift for themselves. And yet Jesus tells us very straightforwardly, I have come so that you may have life. And to the full. Best gift ever. It was planned. Time and thought went into it. Absolutely. But not only that, it was practical. It meets your greatest need in all of life. It was also pricey. It's a pricey gift. This gift required a sacrifice. There is an expense paid for the best gift ever. 1 John says it like this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into this wicked world to bring to us eternal life through his death. In this act, we see what real love is. It's not our love for God, but his love for us when he sent his son to satisfy God's anger against our sins. Or maybe you're more familiar with the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, Christ never sinned, but God treated him as a sinner so that, here's the purpose, that Christ could make us acceptable to God. A sacrifice was made. Jesus took all of our sins upon himself, even though he had no sin. He became sin for us to satisfy God's wrath. He took our place and gave us our pardon. Paul says, for you know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, could become rich. It's a planned gift. Time and thought went into it. It's a practical gift. It meets your greatest need. It's a pricey gift. It cost God everything, his one and only son, Jesus. It's a proprietary gift. The name of this gift is powerful. God made the name-giving process very simple for Mary and Joseph. Did you ever have those times when you, maybe it was your firstborn, did you kind of wrestle over the name? Or maybe it was your firstborn because you knew, like, the first one's going to be this. Or if it's a boy, it's going to be named this. The girl's going to be named this. But by the time you got to your third child or so, you're like, okay, which one, what name now? And I think sometimes that can be a point of, sometimes it's very easy for moms and dads. Sometimes it's very difficult to come to a conclusion. God made it very easy for the name-giving process. It's very simple. His name is going to be Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. Listen to the scripture in Matthew. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Luke says in the book of Acts that salvation is found in, watch this, no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is something proprietary about this name of Jesus. John 14, 6 says, Jesus himself said this, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. It's a proprietary name that brings eternal life to all who will believe in it. You know, I told my wife, when I die, my physical death, if I go before you, there is only one song that I want played at my funeral. You can do whatever else you want, song-wise, but this one I want. And it goes like this, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 2, that he exalted him to the highest of places, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Church, there's something about that name. And maybe you're like me. There are times in my life when I'm going through a trial, a struggle, a situation or scenario, and I just don't know what to do. I've searched the scriptures. I need to have a decision. I still don't know what to do. And maybe it's so much that at night I can't sleep. I lie awake in bed and I have all these thoughts that continue to go and I can't shut them off. And some maybe aren't always the healthiest thoughts. And I'm like, I can't get this out of my head. When I get to those moments and I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say, here's what I do. I just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I can tell you only from my experience, it's in those moments that the thoughts leave. It's in those moments that there is a peace that comes over me no matter what's going on. Because I truly believe the scripture is true, that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There's power in that name. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. There's power in his name, the name of Jesus. And if the words just won't come because you're too afraid to pray, man, just take a moment and just say, Jesus. Listen to the words of this song. Let it bless you this morning. Let it be a prayer for you to hold on to in this moment. Did you hear it? That's proprietary. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Doesn't say nothing but the blood of Jeff, nothing but the blood of Raphael or Leanne or Christopher, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I can bleed for you, you can bleed for me, but it's not going to save probably either one of us, definitely not for eternity. And so today, as we think about best gift ever, man, I want you to bring into the fact that this is one of the greatest qualities of the gift, man. It was planned, time and thought went into it. It was practical. It meets your greatest need. It's pricey. It required a sacrifice. God had to lay out his son for you. It's proprietary. There's something powerful in the name of Jesus. It's the only name given to mankind by which we must be saved. And this Jesus, he is the gift who will last forever. It's a perpetual gift. It's the gift that keeps giving and giving and giving. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And even though some of the greatest gifts in this life that you may get, they are eventually going to be replaced by something new or an improved model, if you will. But Jesus, he's a timeless gift. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The eternal gift of life. Peter said like this, "Praise be to the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his great mercy he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into, watch this, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's a perpetual ongoing gift." My friend, today, if you're searching for something to fill the greatest need in your life, it's Jesus. It's best gift ever. I just wonder, have you received this gift? Have you unwrapped Jesus in your heart today? He has a living hope he wants to give you in this moment, no matter what you're going through. But that living hope is not just for this present day, it's for all eternity. It's an inheritance that goes on and on and on. It doesn't perish, it won't spoil, it won't fade. Have you received it? If you haven't, it's very simple. You just simply tell God, "God, tried to do this on my own. I know I've sinned. I know I've done things I ought not do. I know I've failed to do things I know I should do. Some of it's because of my own selfish motives. But today I confess that to you. I ask you to forgive me for those moments, all of those moments. And I ask you to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. I need you to save me from me." And if you'll receive that invitation that Jesus says, "I've come to give you life, life to the full," if you'll confess your sin and ask him for that eternal life, he will give it to you right now. It's all you have to do. It doesn't seem like that should be it. It seems like I ought to do something for that. I don't deserve it. You don't. And there's nothing you can do, my friend. That's why it's called the indescribable gift. It just blows your mind, because why would a God do that for me? Because he loves you. And he wants to be connected to you, not separated from you. And so I don't know where you're at today in your walk of life, but if you've been found yourself separated from God, all you have to do is cry out Jesus today. He'll be right there because he loves you. I hope before you walk out these doors, you'll do that. If you don't know how to do that and would like to, you can come to one of these altars. One of us will be glad to pray with you. We'll just join you there. We won't embarrass you. We'll just say, "Hey, how can we want you to be connected to Jesus. And if you're not, how can we help you with that?" Before we go, though, we're going to just sing as we go. Song of hope for this season, a song of hope for our living. I'm going to ask you, you'll stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. But if you want to come while we're singing, you come. Doesn't matter that we're singing. That's not going to be rude. It's a good thing. God, in this moment, if there's just one man or one woman, a boy or a girl who has not received Jesus Christ as the best gift ever, I pray that they would walk from where they're standing up to this front, and Lord, they would kneel on an altar and say, "Jesus, I want you. Do for me what I can't do for myself. I've been trying so hard to get my life straightened out, and nothing's working." God, may they surrender to the name that has power, the name that's greatest in heaven and on earth and under the earth. It's the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I ask this in your strong name, God, that your Holy Spirit move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
Here and now, light in the darkness. Here and now, hope for the hopeless. Emmanuel. Here and now, you kept your promise. Here and now, you proved your for us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Miracles, miracles. The King is come to dwell with us. The Son of God, the great I am. The King is come to dwell with us. The King is come to dwell with us. The angels sing, the highest to praise, the heavens ring, the song of salvation, Emmanuel.
Sometimes I think we just take that for granted, this Christmas story, that Emmanuel, God with us, came to dwell among us, took on flesh and blood and walked the same walk that you and I walk, and yet never sinned. Wow. When I really let that soak in, man, I just even more understand this much, how I need a Savior. So many things I do that I shouldn't do, so many things I fail to do when I ought to do it. And yet he loves me, and he came for me, and he came for you. Amen? Hey, real quick, before you go this morning, it's that time of year where we have what's called our annual business meeting. It began last service. It's open all the way till 12:15 today. And we just ask this of some of you here today, that if you have expressed or confessed a salvation experience according to the Word of God, if you are 18 years of age or older, and you've been in a regular attendance at this congregation for 6 months or more, we would like you to participate in our vote. We are voting to ratify, it's either a yes or a no, the 2023 general fund budget for next year. It's what we do all of our ministry out of. And it's something that the elders and the leadership of the church have put forward. You should have got reports the last couple of weeks. Hopefully had time to look over there. So if you had any questions to ask them. But now is the time to vote, yes or no. And I know how sometimes if you're like me, like, things are okay. They don't need my vote. We do, because we have to meet a legal requirement by law of a quorum. And so even if you're like, I'm happy with everything, if you're really happy with everything, would you please go say so and put yes? And if you're not, then you can put a no. But here's the other thing I want to say. I'm going to go above and beyond our bylaws, and I'm going to ask this of you. I can't enforce it, but I'm asking. If you do vote yes, don't just make it a check mark, but personally be invested. If this is your home church, give financially to match your check box of yes for next year. I hope that you would do that. You've always been such a giving church and a gracious church, and I thank you for that. So as you go, there's places that you can cast your vote in the lobby here, in the children's lobby. All you have to do is put your signature down. They'll give you a ballot, yes, no, put it there. And I'm confident that it's going to pass, but we still need you to vote. Amen? Okay? God, thank you for your people. Thank you for the time to gather here today, Lord. Thank you that you gave us Jesus, best gift ever. It's in his name we pray. And God's people said, amen? Amen. See you next Sunday.